Goddess Show, your weekly podcast to help you sort out your belly, your hormones, and your relationship with food. And I'm your host, Kezia Hall, a holistic nutritionist and all-round healthy. Hello and welcome to episode 56 of the Gut Goddess Show. And this week we're talking about what to eat when you're anxious and depressed. So it's a bit of a juicy topic, but really important. I would say the majority of my clients are struggling with this. I've struggled with it my whole life, and thankfully isn't something that defines me anymore or crops up into my radar. So I'm going to be sharing with you a little bit of how that works and the two nutritional shifts you can do to really help bring shifts to your mental health and really support your mental health, and explain a little bit about what could be going on. So make sure you dive on in. Let me know any questions that you have. Also, if you know that you are ready for change and you're sick of being tired, you're sick of being bloated all the time, you have been on and off a million plans and programs and eating ways and you seem to have made zero progress, you can't seem to lose weight, you don't really know what to eat, you're completely overwhelmed by all the information out there, and you're a little bit addicted to sugar, like your sweet tooth is a little bit out of control and you know it's impacting your energy and your waistline, then I have created something called the Sugar Solution, which is really exciting. It is a private consultation package with me where together, one-on-one, we create a plan of action to help you ditch the sugar addiction so that you can get your energy and your belly back and feel really good. So you can kickstart that weight loss, so you can create a healthy relationship with food and actually have that energy that you need. So it's a kind of 3-week one-to-one program. And this has really come out of working with people and them asking actually for these smaller kind of one-off sessions. So I've got a limited number of these that are going out. And if you want to find out more, just head to supernaturallyhealthy.org/sugar-solution. So if you're tired of being bloated, tired of weird toilet problems, tired of being tired, like totally exhausted all the time, and you can't seem to lose weight and you just feel a bit crap, get your butt signed up for the Sugar Solution. We'll hang out online in person. I'll create a tailored plan just for you. Just this isn't like some generic whatever. It's a plan made just for you. And then I also do some follow up to make sure you're getting the results that you need so that you can be on your way and see some phenomenal results. So if you're ready to see some awesome results and ditch the sugar in 3 weeks, then sign up for the Sugar Solution. Spaces are limited, so I'm not going to be taking on like millions of these. I'm just going to do a little handful. So head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/sugar-solution. What to eat when you are depressed and anxious. That is the topic we're diving into. That's what we're going to be looking at. I'm going to be going through first a bit of my own experience and journey with this topic. And then I'm going to explain the two nutritional changes and shifts that you can make that can really be supportive of your mood. Basically, that's really what we're talking about. Anxiety and depression are not just about your mood, obviously, but that's often how it manifests. That's what we notice as being off. It's also about how you feel and lots of other things. But on a really high level, I'm going to be talking about the two kind of nutritional shifts to make that can be really supportive. And these are things I would talk with a lot of the clients I work with, because I have to say probably about at least half the clients I work with, maybe more, maybe like 65% of them are coming with, I don't know, other health issues. Maybe it's weight, maybe it's digestion and hormones, but nearly 65% of the time, I would say they're also coming with some sort of depression and anxiety. And that to me, from a practitioner point of view, a nutritionist point of view, it makes so much sense when they tell me that other symptoms around bloating and gut health and they're constipated and their hormones are off. You're like, oh, of course you're depressed. That makes total sense. I can always predict it now with clients. And I'm like, I don't say it this way, but I can almost be like, and how long have you been depressed for? Or how long have you had mental health issues for? Or how long have you been struggling with anxiety? It's just really commonplace. So I'm going to explain my journey, and then I'm going to explain a little bit of some of the basics of how the body's working, and then those two nutritional shifts of what to eat when you are feeling depressed and anxious. So my own story with this and how we're going to be looking at it from this episode is really from I was diagnosed depressed when I was about 20 and I'd been anxious all my life. I've never been diagnosed with anxiety. I know you can get diagnosed with that and have medication for that in its own separately. So depression and anxiety aren't the same thing. They are two separate things, but you do often see them together. But just to note, I'm not lumping these two things into the same thing, saying everyone that has anxiety is exactly the same as everyone who's depressed. They are slightly different mechanisms and they can impact the brain slightly differently. Also, there's real big spectrums of this. So depression, I think the spectrum I was on was probably on the, for want of a better word, the milder end. You know, I was offered medication, checkup by the doctors, those kinds of things. But depression can also mean you need to end up hospitalized and have a bit of a breakdown. So there is a real spectrum on this. And my experience is more on the milder end. But these things that I'm talking about will apply to the more severe mental health aspects as well. These aren't, these are real basics, to be honest, that I'm talking about that would do any health issue good. But I'm really going to specifically zone in on why these foods to eat are really helpful for the mood, for your mood and depression, anxiety, because it's something that are so many of us. I'm gonna start rapping for you guys. I mean, that didn't sound like a rap at all. Hence the reason I'm a nutritionist, not a rapper. Anyway, I digress. Right, my story. As I said, I got diagnosed, it was when I was at university, went to the doctor, filled in the questionnaire, blah, blah, blah. And I think, to be honest, I'd actually probably been depressed for quite a while, but just hadn't really talked about it. And I was definitely of the philosophy that just don't talk about things. So I didn't talk about being depressed. I didn't talk about thoughts I had of killing myself. I didn't talk about my weird relationship with food at the time, which was a bit disordered. I didn't talk about the fact that I was like pooing myself or like having diarrhea all the time. I was way too embarrassed about that. I didn't tell anyone I had thrush, like, you know, just a whole lot of shame going on, which doesn't help anything. And just not talking to anyone about it also doesn't help anything. So that was probably more than 10 years ago now. I was offered medication, but at the time I just didn't feel like that was the solution for me. I just didn't feel, I'm not against taking SSRIs, so serotonin reuptake inhibitors. I think that's SSRIs. Anyway, your medications that lots of are really common. I have nothing against taking them at all. I have lots of clients that are on them and they can be super helpful. But for me, I just knew there was lots of other stuff going on in my life. There was lots of trauma I'd not dealt with. I'd not talked to anyone. I'd not had any counseling. I was all that sort of stuff. When it comes to anxiety, I've been anxious from the get-go. My earliest memories are me being sick over spelling tests, waking up early about going to school, like to get ready for school, just, you know, needing the toilet all the time, just a lot of anxiety in my life. It's kind of showed its head up. And even now in this postpartum period, my anxiety levels are definitely higher than they were previously. So even now, these are things I'm still implementing for myself. Again, I've never been diagnosed with anxiety, but you can be diagnosed with anxiety. And it goes without saying, guys, you probably know what I'm going to say, but if you are struggling with any of these areas and you haven't talked to a medical professional, you need to get your beautiful ass along to a doctor's, or maybe you have a community mental health care nurse or worker with you who works with you. Maybe you have been to the doctor, but it was a year ago. Well, you should go again. Maybe you've been on antidepressants for like 3 years and you've not had it reviewed. Go back to the doctor and get it reviewed. Maybe you're on other medications for mental health issues and you've not. I once had a client who was on, I think it was lithium, for 10 to 12 years and just hadn't had it reviewed for, we're talking maybe 4 or 5 years. And lithium has some massive side effects. So you want to be getting things reviewed, just to say. Right. So when we're talking about nutritional shifts and what to eat. So unfortunately, there is no magic bullet for this. it's not like if you eat broccoli, your depression will disappear. I mean, it would be great. And eating broccoli is going to help you no end. Like, it's, you know, eating broccoli is always a good idea. I wouldn't recommend eating it raw much, but steamed, stir fried, eat your broccoli. But there's no magic food out there that will instantly cure your depression and anxiety. When we're talking about depression and anxiety, there's often, actually, to be honest, when I'm talking to any client about their health issues, depression, anxiety, maybe I'm about to see a client just now who has really bad IBS and has been told she has small intestinal bacterial overgrowth and tried lots of medications and things and not going anywhere, or whether your client has PCOS or hyperthyroidism or hypothyroidism, there is rarely, when you have these different things going on, it is rarely one thing that is causing it. So it's rarely, it's just a gluten intolerance. Sometimes it is. Sometimes literally if people just remove gluten, then all their health problems will go away. You see that often with celiac disease. But often with these things, depression, anxiety, there's contributing factors. So in this episode, I'm just going to focus on the nutritional aspects. And then in future episodes, I might focus on some more of the supplementary and lifestyle shifts that also really contribute. But nutrition is really, really important. It's a really powerful resource and tool for helping your mood and helping your brain to function optimally. But you also need to make sure your environment that you are in is healthy. So we're talking environmental toxins in the house, whether you're subject to mold or cleaning products and bleaches, whether you're getting rubbish through your water, stress, that's another environmental factor, your workplace, light exposure, your sleep, all of these different things, the air you're breathing, all of that stuff plays a really, really important role as well as genetics. Genetic factors also really contribute to these things and lots of other stuff. So it's not just about nutrition, but if you've been listening to this podcast for a while, you will know that I 100% believe that the food we eat is one of the most underutilized resources and tools we have for creating the life we want to live. If you want to create an energized, healthy life filled with fun and your heart's desires coming true, actually, the food you eat can either fuel those dreams, fuel those desires, fuel those passions in your heart, fuel those things that you love doing, or it can detract from them. The food you eat can pull your energy. It can contribute to your sickness and to your lethargy and to your poor sleep. And if you're feeling tired and exhausted and bloated and sore and painful and fatigued, you're not going to want to really go after all those things that you want to do. You suddenly find your evenings are going to bed early, feeling tired, zoning out in front of Netflix and not actually going to that knitting class or going to that education class or going back to university or changing that job or applying for that job or making a baby or whatever it is. So your health and the food that you eat is one of the most underutilized resources that you can use, because you're eating three or four times a day. Imagine if three or four times a day you were taking an amazing medication that had no side effects that could really impact how you feel and how you produce energy and how you replicate your DNA and how you produce hormones and how healthy your eggs are if you're looking to have a baby, or how healthy your skin looks if you're bothered about aging. Imagine you could do something three or four times a day that was actually going to build those things and had zero side effects. Oh wait, you can. That's called eating. That's why I love it. Okay, sidetrack. Again, went off on another rant, but I get excited about food, guys. It might be obvious by now, but I really do. Okay, so what are we talking about when we're saying what food to eat when dealing with depression and anxiety? Before we dive into that, we first need to, I want to explain a couple of basic things to you. So obviously when we're talking about the food we eat, it's not just about what you put in your mouth. Just because you put a piece of kale on your mouth doesn't mean that all the nutrients, the vitamins and minerals in that kale are entering your bloodstream and going to the cells and organs and tissues that it needs to go to. That's the process of digestion. The process of digestion is taking that kale in your mouth, breaking it down mechanically and chemically, into getting it absorbed into your body, sending it to the liver, checking it's all right, and then going out to your tissues, your cells, your organs in order to make energy, heal, create neurotransmitters, all these different things that vitamin minerals are for. So digestion is really, really, really important. Your gut is really, really important in terms of getting the food that you eat into your system. And the vitamins and minerals also, I've said this before, but I'll keep on saying it until our culture has changed around it. Vitamin minerals aren't just nice supplementary things. So vitamin C, B12, B2, folate, iron. These aren't just, well, it'd be nice to have some iron in my system, but, you know, oh well. It'd be good to have some vitamin C, but, oh well, don't have it. No, vitamins and minerals are really essential. They're often cofactors for a lot of different chemical reactions in the body. So producing energy, ATP, you need magnesium as a cofactor in order for that kind of internal power station to produce this thing that is energy. When it comes to creating progesterone for a healthy cycle and fertility, your body needs to have a whole host of, I think it needs magnesium again, it needs a whole host of vitamin C and all of these different things as cofactors for that reaction. So getting good vitamins and minerals is not just some optional extra or isn't just sorted by popping a supplement. It needs to be, the body is designed for that, for them to be absorbed through digestion. So when it comes to depression, specifically and anxiety, if you're struggling and been diagnosed with those things, a lot of what's going on is a kind of an imbalance. You know, we'll talk about chemical imbalance, and often we're all familiar with serotonin, which is a neurotransmitter that the body will make. And often when we have these things going on, our neurotransmitters, so things like serotonin, melatonin, even things like dopamine, although that wouldn't necessarily, that would play potentially more of a role in anxiety as well, depression actually. Anyway, all of these are different neurotransmitters that the body will actually make. So, and it's really important then, if we have an issue with serotonin, I'm just going to focus on serotonin for this podcast because it's a little bit complicated and I'm not an endocrinologist kind of, you know, person. But say serotonin, because we all know it, and melatonin, which is useful for sleep. But serotonin, if we are having an imbalance with that in the body, we need to first ask why. So why is it? If you've had depression the last 5 years of your life, but for the last prior 20 years before that, you didn't, what's gone wrong? Because your body obviously at one point was really good at making the right amount of serotonin, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden something happened, maybe a stressful event, maybe loss, maybe you moved house, maybe you changed jobs, maybe a relationship broke down, whatever. Suddenly, your body's ability to produce serotonin is impaired. So when you're looking at depression and anxiety, you want to look at why is that happening? Why all of a sudden am I not producing enough serotonin? Or maybe like some of my clients who maybe had mental health issues for the whole of your life, why is it you've never been able to produce adequate amounts or balance this out? Because with serotonin, it's really, really important not just to be like, well, it's a chemical imbalance with that, so I'll take a pill that will cause me to reuptake more serotonin. Actually, we want to go, how can we support the body in producing really good amounts of serotonin first and foremost? And a really amazing fact is a lot of your serotonin production actually takes place in the gut. So what I mean by the gut is kind of your intestines and through the process of digestion. And a lot of your serotonin gets produced there, which is crazy. So if you're struggling with gut health issues, struggling with bloating, constipation, you don't feel like you're digesting food very well, you're burping lots, you're farting loads, then it goes hand in hand often with depression. And that's not just Kizia's idea. I've just not made that up on the spot. There's actually loads of research and even more research that's happening as we speak, really diving into this whole gut and mental health connection. And it's already established in the literature for sure, but we're learning even more how linked these things. So schizophrenia and gut health, bipolar gut health, depression, gut health, anxiety, all these things, autism, not exactly a mental health issue, although some people have argued it is, but anyway, it's not what this is about, but linked to gut health. So serotonin, really important. Why aren't you making enough? And then when you ask that question, you got to go back even further and say, well, how does the body make serotonin? Well, serotonin is made using, in a really simplified way, the body will make serotonin by taking the amino acid, which amino acids are the things that are the building blocks of protein. So if you eat a steak, you're eating lots of amino acids, as the building blocks to get there. So the body uses the amino acid tryptophan, and it uses that amino acid in order to create serotonin. So all of a sudden, you can see where I'm going with this. You can think, oh, well, tryptophan is needed for serotonin. I'm feeling depressed, don't have much serotonin, that's imbalanced. Okay, maybe I've not got enough tryptophan to make serotonin. And it's also worth knowing if your sleep is problematic as well, if you don't sleep well, melatonin, that hormone we need for sleep, is produced from serotonin on a really basic level. Obviously, these things are a bit more complex than what I'm describing, but on a simplified level, again, and you can work back. I don't sleep well. Oh, I mustn't be releasing good melatonin. That must be to do with serotonin. How does the body make serotonin? It uses an amino acid that we get from protein called tryptophan. Okay, and then you can think, well, how do I absorb tryptophan? How do I get tryptophan into the body? Well, it's from eating protein, but not just eating protein. Again, it's not just putting an egg or a bit of tempeh or a steak in your mouth. It's digesting that protein. So the first thing that you can eat in order to help your depression, anxiety is good quality protein, and also making sure you're digesting protein properly. Really, really important. Just adding like a protein powder or extra eggs into your day without first addressing the ability to digest protein is really important. And I find with a lot of my clients, they actually have really poor protein digestion, because protein, again, if you work back, so we've gone, I feel depressed. Okay, that's dependent on serotonin. Serotonin is produced by tryptophan. How do I make tryptophan? Oh, that's from protein and the process of digestion. So if you kind of work back and you go, okay, I need tryptophan. How do I break protein down into this amino acid tryptophan that the body can absorb and utilize? That's through your stomach acid. So it's really important that your stomach acid is acidic. That's one of the important roles of reasons why your stomach is meant to be a highly acidic place, in order to break down protein into these amino acids. Again, there's other things involved, but on a really basic level, you can suddenly start to see, oh, I actually really need to support my digestion. If I'm feeling depressed and I'm anxious, actually, I need to support my digestion. I need to make sure that my stomach acid is working right, that it's acidic, that it's causing that chain reaction of digestive enzymes that come from the pancreas and bile, which gets stored in the gallbladder but created in the liver. That those things coming together, all those different chemicals come together to digest protein, to break it down into amino acid. And then we can go back along the chain. Your digestion gets fixed and happy. Your body's being able to absorb tryptophan. It's getting tryptophan into its system and it goes, oh, we can make serotonin again. This is great. Starts making serotonin in your gut. And if you work on your gut, make it a really healthy place, and you're not feeling bloated, you're not constipated, you're not pooping 5 million times a day, you're not bloated and farting all the time, which are all signs of kind of a slightly imbalanced digestion, your gut actually becomes a really healthy environment to produce serotonin. Now, it's really worth saying, although I mentioned those different symptoms as an example of gut health imbalance, you can also, even if you have no gut issues at all, but you're struggling with depression, then chances are there is some sort of imbalance going on. You're just not having any symptoms of it. Optimum digestion isn't about the lack of symptoms. It's about the whole person's well-being. So just because you're not bloated doesn't mean your digestion is awesome. And that's why, to be honest, guys, I'm a bit like a stuck record when it comes to gut health and digestion. Because the more that I research, and you keep on going back, you keep on questioning, why is there not enough serotonin? Why is that imbalanced? Okay, it's not being produced enough. Where does serotonin produce? It's produced in the gut and it's produced through tryptophan. Why isn't the body getting enough tryptophan? Why isn't it making enough? Okay, it's not digesting protein properly to break it down into amino acids. And maybe the gut isn't a healthy environment for the production of serotonin. Maybe there's infection. Maybe there's bacterial overgrowth. Maybe there's all of these different things going on. And you can see how actually all of a sudden, this feeling of depression and anxiety, which I know the feeling so well, of just waking up with that big black cloud over your head, that no matter how grateful you are, no matter how much you do, no matter how positive you try to be, it just stays there. Even when you know you're really blessed, even when you know there's awesome things going on in your life, you just feel stuck under this cloud or this like black dog following you around. And for so long, I just thought it was my personality type. I thought being depressed and anxious was just who I was. I was creative and sensitive, so I was just going to spend the rest of my life being depressed. Until I realized what I've just said. Actually, I was depressed because my gut was really off. there was imbalances in my body. My body wasn't able to produce serotonin. There was genetic factors. Yep, there was trauma that I needed to deal with. Yep, I needed to go and get counseling. All these different things. I'm not disregarding those other things at all. But equally, I realized that there were some really practical reasons. And actually, it made sense. Of course I was depressed. Of course I was. I wasn't absorbing enough food. I wasn't breaking down my protein. I wasn't eating enough protein. My gut wasn't a happy place to be. Of course I was depressed. And it honestly gave me so much freedom to realize that depression and anxiety were a horrible symptom that I had, not something, not a part of my identity, that my depression wasn't a part of who I was. It wasn't this innate part of my being, of my personality. Yes, I have, I'm more precluded to that. I'm definitely more likely than your average person to be depressed and anxious. I'm definitely, it's a bit like an Achilles heel, and there's lots of factors for that, but it's not who I am. If I can work on my digestion and my nutrition, then actually it doesn't need to be a part of my life. And it's actually a symptom, just like a headache, just like bloating, just like being constipated, of an imbalance in the body. And it's actually a way of your body communicating to you, hey, I really need some help. I really need some love here. There's an imbalance going on. Can you help me out? So I really hope that is helpful for you. Thinking about it in this way, your depression does not define you. It's not your identity. It's not who you are. It's not your personality. And I believed that for years, and it just made me feel trapped and stuck and like I would never get out of this hole that I was in. But you 100% can. It's not going to happen overnight. It's not going to happen when you take a magic multivitamin. But if you're willing to do the work and look at all these different areas, and today I'm specifically focusing on nutrition, but in future podcasts, we'll look at all the other contributing factors that we know through literature and through my work with clients impacts mental health and well-being, and specifically depression, anxiety. You can totally be free of it. It's just like bloating, just like I used to have IBS and have diarrhea and be constipated all the time. Not constipated, sorry, just have diarrhea all the time. And now I don't, because they were symptoms. And when I addressed those symptoms, my body found balance. And I know that's a potentially controversial thing to say, because people sometimes like to hold on to their diagnoses of being depressed. They like to hold on to it as a bit of a get out clause. Oh, well, I'm depressed and anxious, so I couldn't possibly do X, Y, and Z. And I totally get that. And you do need to give yourself grace and look after yourself. But ultimately, it's not who you are. It's a sign of an imbalance. When we talk about it that way, a chemical imbalance, and all we need to do is ask why. And that's what I do with my clients. So that's the first thing. The first thing in terms of what to eat, you want to eat more protein, but you want to also make sure that you are digesting that protein. Really, really, really important. So the next thing in terms of what to eat is sugar. Also, my baby is crying in the background. Sorry if you can hear that as a background to the podcast. You know, that nice soothing sound of a screaming baby. But you know, in real life, and he's with his dad, so it's all good. That's the only downside of having a home office. I'm not going to lie. But sugar. Really, really important. In terms of what to eat when anxiety and depressed, this could probably be put under what not to eat. If you're suffering with anxiety and depression, sugar, refined sugar, excess carbohydrates, really, really important to address and actually ditch the sugar addiction with that. And if you know you have a sweet tooth, you really, really struggle to not eat sweet things, whether it's naturally sweet things like naked bars and dates and fruit, or your refined sugar like Mars bars and squash and fizzy drinks, even diet fizzy drinks, what I would count as sugary, then it's really, really powerful if you can address and ditch your sugar addiction. I know for me, every Christmas, I obviously, like most of us, eat more sugar than we normally do. I eat more sugar often by like the 29th or the 30th. I can definitely feel a lot more depressed. And after the several years, I've just realized it's just because I've eaten too much sugar. If I go on holiday and I eat ice cream every day, I need to be really careful, because that sugar can really imbalance my blood sugars and make me feel a lot more depressed and anxious than I normally would. So sugar is a really important one to address your relationship with. So when I'm talking about sugar, I'm obviously talking about table sugar, you know, golden syrup, treacle, any kind of sugar that you would add to things, cooking sugar, caster sugar. But I'm also talking about natural sugars as well. So date syrup, maple syrup, raw honey, and fruits as well. Also, they also have sugar in, along with carbohydrates. So pasta, bread, couscous, quinoa, potatoes, all of these foods are sugar forming food. Now, obviously refined sugar is the worst. So that is where I recommend all clients to start with, is first addressing their relationship with refined sugar. And then transitioning to natural sweeteners as a really great alternative, and then really addressing sugar in general. Also, you want to make sure you're eating a more lower carbohydrate diet as well. You don't need to go super low or ketogenic, but the average British diet is probably like porridge or cereal or toast for breakfast, sandwich for lunch, and pasta or couscous or rice for dinner. And all of those things are carbohydrate, and then maybe like a cereal bar in the afternoon and some pudding of some sort. That means every single meal is primarily based on sugar-forming food. So it's really, really important that, number one, you address your relationship with refined sugar. If that is still an issue and you know you're addicted, then that's the first thing that you do. The next thing you want to do is stress your relationship with carbohydrates and experiment with reducing your carbohydrate intake and make trying one meal a day as maybe without carbohydrates. So maybe for breakfast, you have eggs and avocado and spinach. That would be really low in carbohydrate. Vegetables have carbohydrates in as well, but I don't count them because they come with all those other things and most people aren't eating enough nutrients, vitamins and minerals that are in them. So that's how you really want to begin looking at it when it comes to sugar. First, ditching refined sugar. Second, you want to deal with an experiment with carbohydrates, because some people feel much better with slightly lower carbohydrate in order for their blood sugar to balance, and other people need a little bit more. And so I really encourage my clients and people in my Nourish community to experiment with that. And if you are wanting a bit of help with sugar, then I have created something called the Sugar Solution, which is a mini program where you work with me one-on-one. We have an in-person consultation online, and I basically create for you a plan of action to help you quit being tired and bloated and fed up and ditch your addiction to sugar so that you can have the energy, kickstart any weight loss, and feel really, really good. So if you're interested in that, you can go to Supernaturally Healthy Sugar Solution. supernaturallyhealthy.org/sugar-solution. And it's, so you work with me one-on-one, it's consultation. So the plan, the Sugar Solution, is really tailored and bespoke to you and what you need. And it's going to be awesome. I'm really, really excited. It's a new thing I've created. I've done things around sugar before, but I recognize that when it comes to making real changes and seeing some amazing results, kickstarting weight loss, getting your energy back, sorting out your digestion, that sugar is the first place to start. And that often requires some accountability, a clear plan of action, and a little bit more one-to-one support. So that's the Sugar Solution. Super excited. You can find the link in the show notes or head over to supernaturallyhealthy.org/sugar-solution. It's going to be awesome and totally transformational. When I've done these with people before, in different ways, honestly, the results are amazing. Not just like losing weight and, you know, whatever, that kind of aesthetic aspect, but the energy you can find when you ditch sugar. And often majority of people say to me, it is so much easier than they think. Ditching sugar is often feels more difficult than it actually is. So that's the second thing. When it comes to depression and anxiety, you want to ditch refined sugar and really address your relationship with refined sugar, natural sugars, and carbohydrates in general, and find your ideal balance. And everyone is slightly different for that. And monitoring your blood glucose with a blood glucose monitor is a really great way of doing that as well. I often get people to do that sometimes. So when it comes to the two things to eat when you are anxious and depressed, number one, you want to eat more protein and make sure you're digesting it. And number two, you want to deal with your relationship with sugar. And I really encourage you to join me and sign up for the Sugar Solution. If you have tried making changes, then join me in the Sugar Solution. It's one-to-one bespoke support, and you'll see results within about 3 weeks. It's awesome. It's totally fab. So I hope that has been helpful for you guys. I know this is a delicate topic. I know I've been there. I know it's hard. And being depressed and anxious is not fun, and you can feel foggy. But honestly, I promise you, making some nutritional shifts and changing your diet, in not just for a week, but in terms of your lifestyle, will make the biggest difference when it comes to it. I no longer, the depression and anxiety in my life, I would no longer say are a big thing. Like they used to be present every day. Now they only flare up when I'm not taking care of myself or when I know I'm eating too much sugar or I'm not digesting my protein. So this really doesn't have to define you for the rest of your life. Yep. And I'm going to talk about other things in the future that impact it. But if you can make these two nutritional changes, just honestly, I dare you to do it and just see how good you can feel in a month. Seriously. In less than that, like 2 weeks. If you're going to address your relationship with sugar, eat more protein and digest it properly, honestly, you will be feeling kick ass. So thank you for joining me this week. If you have any questions, you can head over to Supernaturally Healthy on Instagram or at Facebook. I'm on either way. And just let me know how you're getting on. So sending you lots of love, guys. Bye.